This episode is brought to you by Elan House of Wellness, helping women navigate the early stages of motherhood with confidence and clarity through a quality food product range, natural face and body products, and self-care tools, a contemporary interpretation of the ancient Chinese tradition of sitting the month, and a one-stop shop for all of your self-care needs.
I think what's happened in more recent years, and you know, maybe it's my change in motherhood, maybe it's, you know, the business has gotten to a point where it's getting even bigger and the pressure is building, but I've lost that sense of self a little bit, and I have kind of, I suppose, tuned down or turned down the volume of like my inner voice and like that strength inside, and kind of listened more to what I think the world wants in me.
Welcome to Parenthood, where each week we explore the lives of Aussie mums and dads and what's really going on behind closed doors. I'm your host, Leonia Kidinor, mum of two, business owner and relationship coach. Let's begin.
Welcome to the show.
I'm joined today by this Melbourne queen, Steph. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks. I love it.
I'm so fortunate to have connected with you via podcasting, and I've had yourself and Josh on our show, and that episode was killer. So to those listening, it's episode 101. We deep dive into Steph and Josh's relationship, their challenges. They were so open and raw. And in fact, that episode, I think it's one of our most listened to episodes, and we like topped the charts with that episode as well. So there we go, girlfriend.
Thank you.
But yeah, certainly one to listen to. But yeah, absolutely thrilled to have you on with us today. For those of you who don't know who Steph is, firstly, let me give you a little bit of a rundown of her fabulosity. So Steph is mother of Harvey and has her gorgeous husband, Josh, as well. And Steph first graced our screens as a successful model, and then became the co-founder of the Kick App, offering over 1,000 workouts, meditations, recipes and programs, which I am personally a massive fan of, as I think I've mentioned to you, Steph, with all my testimonials about how good your app is.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, definitely. I mean, happy to even put a link in the show notes for those listening as well, because it is such a game changer. And for myself, I've really loved the meditations. I mean, I loved all of it. I loved the fact that the workouts are bite-sized chunks. So it's like 20, 25-minute dumbbell exercise. I can get that done, you know, quite easily within mum's schedule. You know, we've got limited time. But also the meditations, particularly the ones before bed, I loved it. I found them so incredibly grounding. So thank you for all that you do in supporting us.
Oh, no, thank you. I mean, it's awesome to like have heard that you've had such a good experience with it. And I mean, I too, like, obviously I'm biased. It's, you know, an app that I created with my team, but I think as a mum, like in juggling a lot, I use it like almost every day in different ways, because, it is pretty flexible. And yes, we do have a discount code as well for anyone who wants to try it. It's Parenthood, and we'll put the details in your show notes.
Oh, amazing. Love that. So Steph's also, as I mentioned, a podcaster. So she is the host of KickPod, the co-host of KickPod and the host of KickBump, and has significant influence in social media with a very large community of followers who love following her journey, including all of us. So while we've got you today, what I'd love to do is, firstly, I've got a few burning questions that I'd love to throw at you, and then we opened it up to our audience as well, and would love sort of your take on, I guess, mum life, and also just, you know, you being, you know, an individual who, you know, looks after their well-being, who's very big in business and, you know, and all the things. So are you ready for me to fire away with some questions?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So I want to start firstly with this beautiful reel that you put up. And I literally, it did stop me in my tracks. And it's one of those ones where, you know, you're scrolling Insta and it's so easy to go past so much content. But I just read the first kind of little bit, and it said something along the lines of, it was all about you. And I sort of just stopped. And then I watched your beautiful reel where there are snippets of you throughout your life. And I actually want to read some of the words from that reel because I think it's it sets the context, right? So this reel said, you're going to realize it one day that happiness was never about your job or your degree or being in a relationship. Happiness was never about being like the others. One day you're going to see it, the hope, the listening to your heart and following it wherever it chooses to go. One day you will understand and no external factors can define it. It was all about you. I literally got goosebumps as I said that, by the way. So what made you post this and what do those words mean to you?
So I think thank you so much for saying that. I really enjoyed creating that reel. I think when I came across that sound, it really just spoke to me because I'm putting a lot of work into myself at the moment. I'm seeing a therapist quite regularly and just working through some stuff personally. But the biggest thing I'm kind of unpacking is how I've lost touch with my authentic self a little bit. And I think what has kind of happened over the years. And I suppose, our 20s are all about growth and experiencing new things, learning things about yourself and maturing in ways. But I think something that I'm pretty proud of is for most of my life, I have had a lot of self-awareness. I've had a really strong connection with myself and a lot of confidence in who I am, what I like to do, what I want in life. I've always been very, very sure of it. And I haven't really let people's judgment sway that from me. And a clear example for me is going back to high school when I was telling people that I wanted to get into modeling. People casted a lot of judgment on me for that and I didn't care because I knew it was something I was really passionate about, and I pushed through and went for it anyway. And obviously, I mean, it worked out for me, but I also have kind of built this attitude where if things don't work out, that's okay. I'm really not scared of failing things, or I'm not scared of putting what I want out into the universe, because I think without doing that, you're not going to get what you want. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen and it is what it is. But we've only got one life, so try and live it in the way that you want it. And I think what's happened in more recent years, and, maybe it's my change in motherhood, maybe it's, the business has gotten to a point where it's getting even bigger and the pressure is building, but I've lost that sense of self a little bit, and I have tuned down or turned down the volume of my inner voice and that strength inside, and kind of listened more to what I think the world wants in me, or show up in a way that they want as opposed to what I want to do. So I think I've kind of gone back to this point of caring too much about other people's opinions on my decisions or what I want, instead of really prioritizing my own, and been doing a lot of work in looking through my values, and they've kind of always been the same even since I was a little kid, and just making sure that the way I'm living my life is totally aligned to those values. And I think with this sound, it's just proof that for me, I'm so fortunate, because I know so many people have never had that really strong connection with themselves, and they've always been kind of lost in what they actually want, or they've never been sure of that. I'm so fortunate that I've had that strength before, and that I'm just trying to get my way back there into being so comfortably me and just leaning into, I think, authentic Steph, who I've always been. So that's what that sound said to me, and that's a journey I'm on right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And do you think it's reflections? I mean, you did turn 30, I think, earlier this year. Is that right, Steph? Yeah. So what was sort of the trigger point for you to start going, oh, I'm going to look at myself because I'm realizing that I'm a little bit off course from authenticity? What was the trigger? Was it your birthday, or what happened?
I think I just wasn't that not happy. I'm definitely happy, but I think there was points where things that bring me joy weren't bringing me as much joy, and I was starting to question things that, I now looking back, there's nothing wrong with it or anything like that. I wouldn't say it was depression, but I just was in a funk, and I just really had to kind of sit and work through some things, what was going on. And when I started speaking to my therapist about it, she started to kind of not pick apart, but why do you think that about yourself? Or why do you think someone would assume that of you, what's happened in your life? And it, it's just made me realize that, yeah, that kind of external validation has crept back in, and caring more about making other people proud or like happy has been more important than actually just making myself proud. And so, yeah, that, I think it might be timing. I don't think it was about turning 30, because I think for me, turning 30 wasn't as scary, I suppose. I've done a lot of those societal things that like people put the pressure on to like have sorted by the time you're 30. And I, not that I believe in that. I think you do life. It's your own race. You run it however you choose to. But I think because I'm, you know, I've found my soulmate, I've traveled the world, I'm like living my dream basically. And I was very comfortable in going into my 30s. And I've also learned that the older I'm getting, the more I'm having more and more respect for myself. And I really like the idea of that. So I'm not fearful of aging, but I really think that my 30s is going to be about, yeah, kind of leaning back into who I am and prioritizing what truly means like the world to me.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, as parents as well, we're so swept up by all of the priorities from everyone else, let alone, I guess, in your perspective, you know, your position where you would get a lot of external, I guess, commentary from so many people. So, you know, I guess for those listening who would sit there going, yeah, look, me too, I just feel like it's always been about others and keeping everyone in the household happy or keeping people at work happy or whatever it looks like. And I feel a little bit off course as well. Are there any sort of key things that you've started implementing that sort of have helped you find your authentic self more, sort of like on the daily?
I mean, the biggest one was actually getting clear on my values. So I'm outside of my therapy, I'm also working with a bit of a coach, and it was kind of for work, but she's also like life coaching basically me, and helping me work through some stuff and figuring out my values. Like I think I thought I knew what they were, but when I went through an actual exercise and really narrowed it down to like five really important values, that really helped me, because I was able to then think about all the different kind of decisions that are coming up in life or big changes that might come up in, you know, the next couple of years, and like what actually aligns with who I am and what I value in life. That's helped me a lot. I think also just reflecting a lot on, you know, the times in my life where I was really happy, like why do I think I was happy in that point? What was going on in my life? And not just looking at it with rose-colored glasses, because I know that every happy point in my life also had its own challenges. But, you know, was it, when I looked back, I was like, well, I was listening to what I wanted in life. I was literally leaning in to who I was and not giving a fuck, really. Like, that's when I was happiest. And so I just want to really embody that. And I think a practice that has helped me a lot, I'm not journaling daily, but I'm journaling almost daily. And I'm not necessarily doing it as a morning practice. I was for a while there, I was doing it every morning, and I suppose building back up my habit of doing it, because I've always loved journaling. But I've now kind of, I'm doing it whenever I feel like I've got something to say, and it's not just a negative space. I think for a while there, my journal was just like a bit of a dark place that I think if someone found it, they'd be like, whoa, what's going on in your brain? And that's okay. Like, I think we also need a space where you feel safe to be able to do that and like let those thoughts out. That's fine. But I also realized that it wasn't necessarily making me, like when I put the journal down, it wasn't necessarily making me feel that great. And so what I've also wanted to do is when I'm feeling like particularly good about how something's gone, I've journaled about that too, so that there's like a bit of both in there. But that's really helped me as well, because it's, instead of it all just being in my head along with my to-do list for the day or worrying about Harvey or all the other things that race around our minds, I've got a space where I can like genuinely just work through my thoughts, and yes, it's been really helpful.
Yeah, I'm a big journaler as well. I love it. And it's amazing when you sort of get into the flow, like what can kind of come to fruition. And it really clears things up for me too. I want to turn a little bit now to what's been happening in the media more recently. I feel it would be remiss of me not to make a mention of it. So we obviously had, Sydney had those horrific attacks more recently at Bondi Junction Centre. There's stabbings, there's all these, you know, at a church, there's, women who are going for runs and, you know, getting attacked. Like there is a lot in the media at the moment about sort of, I guess, violence or perhaps, you know, that a lot of women feeling really unsettled about their security. And I guess I was just curious your thoughts around, you know, what do you make of this? And is there any sort of, I don't know, words of, you know, advice or anything that you feel you want to bring to the front when it comes to this pretty dark topic?
Briefly interrupting this episode to give a shout out to our episode sponsor, Elan House of Wellness. How many of us feel like we rushed through our postpartum stage? You know, we live in a time of unprecedented stress, anxiety. So many of us combat mental health issues, you know, after having children. I certainly can attest to that. We can often feel quite lonely, and the lack of community can really amplify those feelings. Mothers return to the burden of household responsibilities and their careers far earlier than is ideal. So we can often feel really depleted in our postnatal phase. And, you know, as you all know, I've been very open to having burnout, depression, and so many other things that sort of negatively impact us because we haven't taken the time to rest and really look after ourselves. Meanwhile, in the ancient Chinese tradition, sitting the month, mothers stay home for a month to allow for their bodies to rest after giving birth, and they have nourishing meals and they cater for their physical needs. Elan House of Wellness draws on this traditional Chinese concept of wellness and postpartum care. And it was founded by a Melbourne mum of four, Youfern. She essentially built this beautiful organisation with these amazing products, which all focus on postpartum care. So you've got things from easy to prepare at home meal kits for mums, which are delivered straight to your door. I can attest to having bought many of these. You know, they've got things from beautiful wholesome soups, teas, herbal blends, you know, the banana bread is to die for, you know, chia puddings. And the beauty of this and the simplicity of being able to throw these ingredients from the bag into your pot and then right into your oven or stir it on your cooktop just means that you're able to provide yourself with these amazing high quality meals that are really going to nourish your body, you know, in the simplest way possible. Elan also have, you know, 28-day postpartum packages and so much more. They don't even stop at just food though. They also have a product range for natural face and beauty products. They have self-care tools and educational resources. And it's not just for new mums. As I mentioned, I've been purchasing a lot of these products recently and my children are 5 and 4 years old. They're just so incredibly beautiful and nourishing. And even down to the skincare products, there's this particular oil. I think it's the Elan body oil, which I actually just rub on my children's face a little bit before bed because it just smells so divine and it really calms and soothes them. So if you're looking for a little self-care treat for yourself or a friend, check out Elan House of Wellness. I'll pop their details in the episode notes, and they've got a Mother's Day offer at the moment, which will be 20% off their entire range until the end of June. T's and C's apply, so check them out.
Yeah, I mean, it's really terrifying, to be honest. Like, it's I think there's one, I don't know, I have a lot of thoughts about it because I think the media, and I know that they've been like going back and forth about how they can like better monitor how they, you know, talk about certain things. And I think somebody who I would really love to highlight in this stages is Tarang Chawla, because the way that he, every little bit he does is basically like making people totally aware of the issue at stake and how many women are dying every week in Australia from violence, and it's from a man. And I think the way that he speaks about how sometimes the media talk about some of these things or deliver it if, you know, the killer is a white male versus, you know, not. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. And so I think the media around it, it's kind of fear mongering, and it's worked. I mean, like, I'm not that much of an anxious person, but I'm fucking terrified. Like, Josh said he went to the Chadston the other weekend and there was like security everywhere. And I was like, well, good. That's what I would expect. But also, I don't have any interest in going to a shopping center anytime soon. And I know that sounds ridiculous because it was one incident, but that's the kind of fear we're feeling, right? And we hear the same thing from our community about women wanting to run alone and everything. Like, it just really sucks. And I think it's not necessarily up to us. I think women have just been seen as objects, and that's something that we're wanting to change. And I think because we're seen as objects and not equal, like, they have this strength against us. And I think that that's like something that we need to change as a society. Obviously, we've got a lot of work to do, but I think something as a mother to a young boy that I'm going to actively do is just ensure that he truly sees women and just from the get-go treats them with respect and, you know, no different. Like, it's all equal. And I really hope that we can, at least for the next generation coming, can make a change. But even to the generation that exists, like, it's not, oh, it's, you know, it's too hard to change. Like, I don't know the answers, but I just know it sucks. And I think, society and the media has a lot of work to do. But, yeah, for more information, I think an expertise, like, who speaks about it so well, I would go to Tarang's page, because it's just, he doesn't do it in a fear-mongering way. He does it more in, like, an awareness way. Like, just so you know, like, the stabbing was obviously horrific, but there's women who die every single week from violence, like, from a man. And it's just got to stop.
And I think great that so much attention is being brought to that matter right now. And it has been, it's been building, but certainly now I feel like we're in the thick of it. And similar to me, I was at Chadston the day after the Bondi attacks, and I just looked around for a birthday party, right, for the kids. And I looked around and, yeah, there was security everywhere. Or even the other day when I was walking from my car at night from a book launch that I went to in the city, and I'm walking back and there was people everywhere, but I was a bit like, so one person was walking towards me, had their hand in their pocket, and then they just pulled their hand out of their pocket, and I just kind of flinched. Like, it's just amazing because it does, it can really consume you the messages are being delivered in quite a scary way. I want to turn now to business. So you've been incredibly successful co-founder Laura Henshaw with your company Kick, and you have, I mean, there's potentially newer stats, but the stats that I got is over 2.1 million subscribers from over 120 countries. And you personally were ranked in the Financial Review's Young Rich List in 2021 and recently spoke at Forbes Australia's Women's Summit due to your success in business. So, girlfriend, I feel like, firstly, all power to you. That is incredible, you know, and what an achievement. And what I would like to hear from you is, you know, being, I guess, a fair powerhouse in business, what would you say to those parents out there who are like, look, I would love to do something like that too. I would love to turn my passion into a business. You know, what's a starting point that they could be considering given your journey?
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much. I think, first of all, I could not have done it without Laura. So, I mean, my advice always is to, like, go in with some sort of partner, or at least like an executive partner or whatever. It doesn't have to be equal like it has been for Laura and I from the beginning, but it's more just like knowing that you're not going to be good at everything. You're not going to be able to do everything well. And in saying that, like, even though we had each other, we still both had to wear many hats for a long time until we could build out our team. And that's, like, it is what it is. But as soon as you can, it is so important to make sure that you can lean into your strengths and you can find expertise in where you lack those strengths. And it doesn't mean, like, you know, like, you don't ever have to learn that or whatever. Like, for example, numbers are not my thing. Like, just numbers do not stay in my brain. I look at a spreadsheet and I, like, get anxiety. Like, I've never liked them. I fucking hated maths in school. But as a co-founder of a business, like, I'm obviously across our financials and, like, I'm still a part of those meetings. So it's important that I have some sort of awareness and some sort of understanding. I'm not, like, completely dusting my hands off with it. But I'm not the one managing it, right? Like, that our business would not be where it is if I was the one managing it. Let me tell you that. And I think, like, it's just one of those things that, you know, you got to kind of put your ego aside. And Laura and I have never ever thought like that we know better or that we're like the smart, like we really love being surrounded by people who are way smarter than us and learning from them. But when you're so passionate about something, it is also really hard to find those people that you can have like full autonomy with to really like, you know, take your business in another direction or like build on something that you haven't necessarily been able to do yourself. So it's not easy to do, but I do recommend finding those kind of A players that believe in your business like you do, because it just makes the world of difference when you can really focus on what you're good at. And have good partners in it. So if you're thinking about starting a business, you know, you should be really aware of like what your strengths are and also what just brings you joy. Like it's not just about what you're good at, but also what fulfills you. And then try and find someone that like could maybe fill in the gaps, particularly in the beginning. And it might mean obviously that you might have to give up a part like equity share or whatever, like part of your business, that'll always be up to discussion. But personally, as long as they are aligned in what you want to do with your business and like your vision, I do really think having some level of a partner that can kind of complement your strengths is definitely what has, you know, it's a big part of our success story.
Yeah. And like you said, surrounding yourself with a really solid team and really kind of, you know, smart, good people, which can be hard to find the right person that can really gel.
For sure. And,
yeah, right. Like, but when you find them, you hold on to them dearly. And I'm curious because obviously you've got a lot that you're juggling. You know, you're a mum, you're a wife, you're a friend, you're a daughter. You've got a lot going on. And I actually noticed that you had just recently came back from a retreat. So what I'd love to know is, talk to us about your hustle vibe and then your rest vibe, and what does rest mean to you and how do you carve out time for it?
It's really hard. I often think back to like pre-child days and I'm like, what the hell did I do with my time? Like what a, you know, how fortunate were we to be able to just kind of sleep until whenever we wanted on the weekend, or like stay up as late as we wanted, or not have to calculate our sleep at all, and also just go for a run without thinking about it at all, or just go to the shops without even needing to tell each other, or just, it's just so many things change, right? And that's fine if that's what you want in life. And I think it's just like, for me, it's just been letting go of what my routine used to look like and understanding that it's not going to be that way. And so self-care for me and like just making sure I've got time for myself does look different now, but it doesn't mean that because it can't look how it once looked, I don't do it at all. Like it's not I've never really been a 0 or 100 kind of person when it comes to my wellness. Like I know a lot of people who are, my husband included, he's been that way in the past. He's now found a really good routine that works for him. But for so long it was like, nah, I'll just do nothing at all because like it is what it is. Or he's working out like every day and like pushing himself to a point where he probably got injured. And so I've never been that way. I've always just kind of found little ways that I can sprinkle in me time. But it's not like a set routine. I find that when Harvey's in a good routine, I'm able to kind of implement a bit of a routine. So when that is the case and he is sleeping through, for example, I will put half an hour aside in the morning. It means getting up at like 5:45, but I'll be able to get my journaling in. I might do a meditation and, you know, like a mini kick workout, like 10 minutes, honestly. And that's like all I need, really. If I'm really feeling like I want to do more movement than that, then, you know, I might skip the meditation and like do longer in the workouts or whatever. But I know that that's not going to work most mornings of the week, particularly if Harvey is not sleeping, right? And if he's not sleeping, I'm also not sleeping. So I'm not going to give up even more of my sleep. So it's just working around that and understanding that it's got to be flexible and that's okay. But just not falling on the excuse of, well, because I don't have an hour, I'm just not going to do anything at all. Like if you have 5 minutes, and we all have 5 minutes, even if it's not when you had originally scheduled it in for, like still make the most of it and still do something that's going to make you feel a little lighter or like better. Like if it's journaling, if it's putting on your favorite music and just honestly dancing while you're cooking dinner or whatever it is, workout, meditation, whatever, walk around the block, just make time for it, because those tiny little things, they really do add up and make the world of difference. It's so much better than just giving up altogether.
Yeah, 100%. And if you don't know what those things are that you could do in 5 to 10 minutes, 15 minutes, write them down when you've got a second, because I find sometimes I forget and then I'm like, oh, it's too hard. And then I'm on my phone for 15 minutes scrolling Instagram. I'm like, they were my 15 minutes that I could have used to read a book in the sun with a tea. Like, that fills me up. Why did I just bloody do that, you know? So sometimes we've got to have those little things, like, you know, obvious to us, and we have to take the time to write them down. And that might be something for those listening that they might consider doing, you know, after this. We need to remind ourselves what we can do for ourselves, because often we're so caught up doing everything for everyone. I want to jump into some audience questions.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rating or review, and share it with your friends. Want to contribute to the conversation? Hit us up on Instagram at ParenthoodPod and join our Facebook group. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
The Parenthood Podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we produce on, the land of the Wurundjeri people. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging.